irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it is all about. We want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you'd like to call in and talk with me today, that number is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what is eating at you. So last week, I talked about the protests going on in this country and indeed all over the world after the murder of George Floyd by Minneapolis police officers. Talked about the divisiveness, the rage, the need for change, the need for radical, lasting change. Because what is going on, what's been going on for years, for decades, let's face it, for centuries, ever since slavery began, what's been going on has to stop. It has to stop. And I've heard from a lot of people who say they feel guilty for being worried about their own concerns, for about being concerned with things that are going on in their own lives at a time of social upheaval. And let's not forget, also a time of a worldwide health crisis. We're in a pandemic, remember? We're still in that pandemic. So this is a scary, upsetting, and intense time. And when we compare our own lives to what is happening in the world, it is an unfair equivalency. It is a false equivalency, because the reality is that both matter. Social justice matters. And what is going on in your life matters. The danger is in comparing them. And there is injustice every day. There is horror every day. There's the murder of George Floyd and more than 1,000 other Black people that we know of at the hands of police in the last 5 years. There are still kids in cages locked up by immigration. There are horrible crimes against humanity all over the world. That is true. But someone said to me recently that she's worried about what's going on in her business because of everything. But how dare she have that worry, she tells herself, when there are greater concerns in the world. Again, both are true. She gets to be socially conscious, socially aware, socially upset, and worry about her business, and worry about her finances, and worry about her future. Other people tell me they feel guilty about worrying about what they weigh. They feel guilty that they are worried about food and they're upset about binge eating or stress eating. And they feel like they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be worried about food when there are people in long lines trying to get food from food banks, when there are people who don't have enough to eat. So again, what happens in your world, what happens in your world is valid. Don't compare it to others. If you go skiing and break an arm, but another person goes skiing and breaks their arm plus both their legs, does that mean you don't get to say your arm hurts? Of course not. Yeah, they have it worse. But yeah, your arm hurts. You broke your arm. That matters. So similarly, what is going on in the world is horrific. It's absolutely awful. And yes, there are hopeful aspects, but it's awful. It's scary. And what's going on in your world is also awful. And if it affects you, it needs your attention. So don't equate things that are not equivalent. What is going on with you today, your unique circumstances, your concerns, they matter. You matter. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear today about what you're going through, what is eating at you. Share whatever's going on with you, whatever is weighing on with you. I am listening. I am here to listen, and I want you to listen to yourself too, to your heart and to your mind. So for anyone who wants to speak up, to be heard, whatever it is that is on your mind, whatever it is that is eating at you, you don't have to call and talk about food or that. It's talk about what's eating at you. Talk about the underlying root issues that are causing you to eat. Whatever is on your mind, that is what I want to hear from. And that is what you must hear. You must hear and listen to yourself. So speak up, be heard. Tell me what is going on with you today. The number is 818-602-4929. And while I am waiting for all you callers that I know are anxious to call, it's not so scary. It's just me. It's just you and me. Give me a call. Let's talk. For all of you, while I'm waiting for you, I have a question from Barbara. And Barbara says, those of us that are very sensitive or empathetic to others, possibly over, someone said they just tried calling and couldn't get through. Sam, I got Sam today instead of Ronan. Ronan's not here today. And couldn't get through. Sam, can you hear me? Hopefully caller Sam will call you back. Okay. So Barbara says, for those of us who are very sensitive or empathetic to others, possibly oversensitive, how do we let go or release some of those feelings so we're not holding on to them? Hopefully. Barbara, that is a good question. And I have a couple things to say about that. So first of all, someone else is saying they're someone else is calling. I've got two people.
Hello.
I'm trying to call.
I am here.
And they can't get through.
Hello.
Sam,
hello.
You are getting this. If not, you're going to be hearing a lot from me today because I don't think that our callers can get through. Sam is the owner of the radio station, but so our normal engineer is not here. I can't hear. So someone's saying that they're on the phone, but they can't hear me. Sam, I can hear, they can hear me, but you guys bear with me with all this technical stuff. Can't hear them. All right. I'm letting them know that. Okay.
Hello?
Okay. I'm just going to keep talking. Okay. So first of all, Barbara, question the idea that you are very sensitive. And caller, bear with us. Sam is going to try to figure out how to patch you through. I think there's some issue with something's going on. So question the idea, Barbara, that you are very sensitive. Maybe you're just sensitive, not as in too sensitive, but maybe you're just sensitive as in you're human. Almost everybody who comes in to my office tells me that they're very sensitive, very sensitive. They feel things so deeply. Well, you know what? That is called being human. That is called being a person who responds to situations. And because we live in a world that says it is weak to have your feelings, don't have them. I've got people texting me on Instagram that are watching that they can't get through. Okay. She's trying to get, Sam says, hang in there. All right. I'm going to hang in there. So guys, hang in there. Bear with me. Again, this is all new to us. We don't have Ronan who really knows the drill, and he's going to, hopefully Sam will figure it out. So everyone says that they're too sensitive. They're really sensitive. we live in a culture that says, don't feel your feelings. If you're mad, there's something wrong with that. Take an anger management class. Calm down. Don't feel that way. Don't be so angry. If we're sad, as in normally sad, it's, oh, you're depressed. Gosh, you're depressed. There's something wrong with you for being sad. Take a pill. And by the way, I am not talking about people who are legitimately suffering from major depression. I'm talking about the normal reaction of sadness to circumstances that happen in our lives. Sadness is a reaction to something that makes you sad. It is a normal reaction. It is not being too sensitive. It means you are having a normal human reaction. Again, we've been told normal human reactions are somehow wrong. Don't feel them. So, or anxious, right? There's a pill for that too. Why do people choose food as an addiction is a question that I'm getting on Instagram. Great question. And I would say that, first of all, let me just talk about addiction. And I wrote about this in a book I co-edited last year called Beyond the Primal Addiction. And it basically said that all addictions are at the heart an attempt to cope with something internal. Just people choose different ways, different strategies to cope. Addictions are a way to help yourself. They're just a way that ends up hurting you. That's why I call it a frenemy, right? It's a friend that it is doing something for you. It is distracting you, comforting you, numbing you. It is doing something for you, but of course it is also hurting you. Why food in particular? Well, our first experience of relationship and bonding and love and the feeling of being loved is the experience of being, as infants and babies, of being held and fed. So we early on have that blissful experience of we're safe in a parent's arms. They're usually like looking at us with some love or gazing at us like, oh, so cute. And we see ourselves being reflected in our parents' eyes. There's this blissful, loving, bonding experience, or should be. And in our psyche, we equate the experience of feeling safe in a relationship and being loved, we experience that as food equals relationship. We don't think of it consciously that way. We don't say food equals relationship. But our unconscious equates those two. Oh, I'm being fed as I'm being related to and held. And this is wonderful. So food and relationship become fused. And if you think about some of the words that we use, we talk about food and relationship the same way. We say, we're hungry for love. We're starving for attention. We say relationships are fulfilling. We say they're satisfying or unsatisfying or unfulfilling, the same words that we use for food. And so turning to food as a way of coping is a way of getting a need met. People can be unreliable, unpredictable, and unavailable. Food is reliable, predictable, available. And so if people can't be trusted, often we turn to food symbolically to fill up. If we're lonely, that is an experience of emptiness. We eat to fill that void. If we're angry, we eat to express it. Anything with a crunch, right? There's such a mind-body connection. So and of course comfort. So when we talk about comfort food, we're really talking about a wish to be comforted. We want to be comforted by someone else. So that is why people turn to food. Now, I would also make the distinction between a food addiction and eating addiction. Food addiction is a myth. It is a myth. And if you're interested, I break this myth apart in all my books, in Food for Thought, in Beyond the Primal Addiction, and most recently in my book, The Binge Cure. we are not addicted to the substance of food. You are not addicted to sugar, white flour, fat, or whatever. That you're not physiologically addicted to those foods. However, you may be addicted, if we're going to use that term, which is not a term I love, but because it sort of pathologizes, sort of shaming, but you may be addicted to eating as a way to resolve something psychological. So an eating addiction is a more accurate term if we're going to use the term addiction. It's, I'm going to eat to resolve something psychological. I'm going to eat to feel better. I'm going to eat to escape. I'm going to eat to go numb or to even express emotional pain through physical pain. People can eat so much their stomach hurts. Often they're converting, again, unbeknownst to themselves. It's not like anyone is going around saying, let me eat so much that I'm in pain, so I therefore convert my emotional pain to physical. No, it's out of awareness. And my job is to help you bring it into awareness. So that is why people turn to food. And then not only just as babies, but we grow up in a culture that uses food for positive things. You know, it's a reward. Hey, even at the dentist, this blows my mind. I when I take my kids to the dentist and then there's a lollipop as a reward, like either the dentists are trying really hard to keep getting more businesses by giving kids lollipops so they get cavities, or they're totally clueless. Because when you give food as a reward, all you do is reinforce the idea that food is a reward, and therefore teaching people to reward themselves with food. Oh, you went to the dentist, it was a tough experience, here's a lollipop. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. And we celebrate with cake, or hey, let's celebrate, let's go out to dinner, or hey, let's celebrate, let's go have some ice cream. So not just as babies, but in our culture, we use food as a positive reward, positive reinforcement. So I hope that answers your question. Anyone else, if you have any questions, just text it to me in Instagram and I will answer your question. I also want to say, with respect to what Barbara's question, if you think that you are feeling feelings too strongly, and this goes to her saying that maybe she's oversensitive, if you are having a stronger than expected reaction to a situation, it is always for a reason. Quick example from my own life. So in college, I had a roommate that borrowed everything, like without asking. So she'd borrow she'd borrow a shirt, she'd borrow my jeans, she'd borrow my computer, she'd borrow she just would borrow stuff all the time. And one day it was an eraser that was on my desk, and she reaches for the eraser. She's like, oh, can I just borrow that for a second? And I said, no. You cannot borrow that. You cannot borrow that eraser. No. And she's like, oh my God, it's only an eraser. Sheesh. Well, of course, it wasn't an eraser. It was all the gazillion things that she had borrowed. And I never said anything. My bad. I'd never said anything until I built and built and built and built and built. And finally, I just had it. And I blew up at her. So was I actually upset at the eraser? No, I was upset at everything. So if you're having a strong reaction, it may remind you of something. And again, unconsciously hidden from your awareness, it may remind you of something, a similar situation from your past or a similar situation that you're dealing with. So you want to be really curious. Well, why am I having this strong reaction? Instead of saying, God, I'm so oversensitive. I'm so sensitive. What's wrong with me? Why can't I stop having this reaction? I'm too sensitive. Then you're just turning against yourself. Then you feel bad about yourself. And guess what? You can't just stop. So what's going to happen? You're going to end up eating to comfort yourself and to get away from your own discomfort. And the cycle goes on and on and on. So that's why I say, be curious, not critical. Are we looking for our mother's love in food? Our mother's love, our father's love, love. Yes. And by the way, there's not a one size fits all answer. You know, different people have different reasons for why they are turning to food. But ultimately, it is very primal that we use food as comfort and to give us a sense of connection. So, like people often ask me, well, what's it like to treat eating disorders? And I say, well, I don't treat eating disorders. I treat people. And people develop eating disorders for reasons that are as unique as they are. So for some of us, yes, we are looking for our mother's love in food. For others, it's something else. It's looking for escape or comfort, or looking for the love it could be looking for the love you had. It could be looking for the love you never had. It could be just kind of feeling like you want to get back to that state of, oh, nothing, the outside world isn't there, and I'm just in this little cocoon, and it's just me and food, and I'm safe for a little bit. You know, people call it the binge zone or the food zone, where you're just in a zone and you're not really thinking and you're not really feeling. Because when you start binging or you start eating compulsively, if that's what's going on with you, it's usually only good for a little bit. People tell me this all the time, and I remember from my own experience, it was only good for a little bit, and then it was awful. It was like, I can't stop. It doesn't even taste good. I feel sick. Why can't I stop? And then again, you want to be curious, not critical. If you say, what's wrong with me that I have no willpower, I have no control, can't stop, then you're just going to feel bad about yourself. But if you say, what's going on with me? Why am I doing this? Not what am I doing, but why? Why am I eating this? What is it doing for me? What is it distracting me from? A question that I ask a lot of people is, well, if you weren't thinking about this, if you weren't obsessing about food, what would be on your mind? If you weren't obsessing about your weight, what would be on your mind? If you weren't preoccupied about this, what would be on your mind? What would you be worried about? What would you be conflicted about? What's missing from your life? What's bothering you? What's eating at you? So if you think you're thinking, if you think you're feeling your feelings too strongly, again, there is always a reason. And when you're curious, you're more likely to find that reason and discover that reason. When you're critical, you just beat yourself up, you just feel bad, and then you end up eating to get away from your own critical, mean voice. When you're curious, you're more likely to find answers to your question. So if you're saying, what's going on with me? What am I trying to get away from? How else can I comfort myself? What would I say to a friend who is bothered by this situation? Would I say, here, eat this? Or would I talk to my friend? You know, ask yourself questions. Try to get to those roots. What is eating at you? Also, I want to just mention something about animals. A lot of people have incredible empathy for animals. I am a person... I'm having a lot of guilt, Dr. Nina. I feel like I can't express my pain and issues I'm going through I'm feeling a lot of guilt. I feel like I can't express my pain and I can't express the issues I'm going through because so many people are going through so much worse right now. Jenny, I talked about this at the top of the show. I talked all about this. Hopefully, oh my gosh, I hope it was recorded. It'll be on the show. It'll be on the show archives, and it'll be on Apple Podcasts. But just briefly, what I said was, it is a false equivalency to compare what is going on in the world with what is going on in your world. Just because of the unrest, the health issues, the political strife, the social upheaval, the horrific murder of George Floyd and all that that represents, and enough is enough, and all of the injustice and horror that is happening in our world does not take away from what is going on in your world. The example I said was, if you go skiing and you break your arm, and someone else goes skiing and they also fall down and they break their arm and both their legs and maybe a rib, do you not have a right to say that your arm hurts because they broke more things? Of course not. Your pain is your pain. And when we compare it to others, then we feel guilt on top of the pain, which again, this is Jenny who's been calling in lately. Then you feel guilt on top of the unexpressed pain, and it just gets worse. So we feel guilty when we're doing something wrong or when we're not doing something we think we should be doing. There is nothing wrong with having your own eyes on your own experience. There is nothing wrong with paying attention to what is going on in your life that is troubling you. It matters. And it's a false equivalency to compare it to large social issues or large social unrest. So yes, we have horrible things going on in this country and in the world. Horrible. And yes, you probably have horrible things going on in your life. We don't compare them. It's apples and oranges, as it were. Sorry to use a food metaphor, but it's not comparable. Right? You want to pay attention to what's going on in your life, because what goes on in your life matters. These are two totally different levels of experience. One is a world cultural level, and one is your level. And so, Jenny and everyone else who maybe didn't hear the beginning of the show, remember that you can simultaneously be concerned about what is happening in the world and raise your voice and speak out and try to do whatever you can do if that's what you want to do, and pay attention to what is going on in your life, because what is going on in your life does indeed matter. You can't compare it to anyone else. Look, we can always compare it to something awful, no matter what. Someone always has it worse. Because before this, there's still people who are going to food banks. There's still people who are hungry at night. There's still kids who are in cages. There are still people who are going through horrible, unfair, awful circumstances. That's always happening. And yes, we've got to do something about that. But comparison is the thief of joy. You get to attend to what's going on in your life, even as these terrible things are happening in the world. So I hope that answers the question. And it's not a matter of worse. It's just different. It's not, oh, that's so much worse than what I'm going through. It's just different. Again, back to my skiing accident metaphor. If you break your arm, you're welcome, modern world citizen, modern world zen. if you break your arm and someone else breaks, you know, multiple bones, you've still broken your arm. You get to say, ouch. And you get to say, oh my gosh, you broke five bones. I'm so sorry. You get to do both. Okay. So I was talking about animals, and a lot of times, you know, people feel so much for animals. Animals are innocent. They are vulnerable. They are sweet. Some of you have seen my 165-pound Great Dane Zane, and you're welcome, Jenny. And I love him. He's the sweetest giantest dog ever. I just love him so much. And we love our dogs. We love them because they are so pure, and they don't hold back. They don't express, oh, I shouldn't want that. No, they want it. They want something. They let you know. Zane has on more than one occasion swatted me with his big giant paw. And that means, hey, scratch my ear now. Now, ladies, scratch my ear now. I want that. They show what they want. They show their feelings. And they're just so filled with trusting love. And I think we all have a lot to learn from animals. We love them in part because of who they are, but also we find the purity that we have lost in animals. And if you think about, we don't respond to our animals' vulnerability or our friends' vulnerability with disdain. We respond to it. We need to respond to ourselves the same way. Treat yourself with as much love and interest as you treat your dog or your cat or your bunny rabbit or whatever animal that you have that you love, or any animal in your life, your horse. Okay, so then it comes down to how do you express feelings? Barbara says, how do I get rid of these feelings? The answer is the same for everything. You've got to feel them. How do you feel them? How do you feel them? Words. You've got to express your feeling in words. Words plus intensity, because you cannot think away your feelings. You cannot stuff your feelings down. You cannot drop them. You cannot positive think them away. You can't. You cannot. The only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them. And when I say feel, and when I say you can't think away your feelings, I'm going to give you an example. The other night in my the Binge Free Babes project that I have with Kelly Gunter, someone was talking about how, yes, you, Jose, you cannot avoid them. You cannot drop them, avoid them, stuff them, drink them away, gamble them away, work them away. Can't get rid of feelings in any way. You can't take, a bubble bath them away. You can't brush your teeth away. Because I say that because literally people have been told you can't reject them. That's right. You've got to honor them. You've got to, they need your attention, not your condemnation. A lot of times people are told, if you want to eat, just brush your teeth. Yeah, right. That does not work. You've got to look at why you want to eat, as in, not as in it's lunch, but as in, I want to eat something to get away from this awful feeling. So the other day at Binge Free Babes, we have a Zoom meeting once a week. And one of the people was talking about how angry she was at a situation at work. And she was expressing them with all the right words. She was talking about her anger, but she was thinking her anger. She was sort of like, well, I'm very angry because of this. And I'm very angry because of that. And I'm really angry. I'm really upset at my supervisor, and I'm quite upset. And I said, hold on, let's try something. I hear you. But I said, imagine if I didn't hear you. Imagine we're all 20 feet away from you, and you need to make sure that we really hear you. Well, that did it, because she went from, well, I'm very angry. She grabbed the side of her computer and she was like, I am so mad. But she had to express it because she had to make sure that we heard it from 20 feet away. And that made her express it with feeling, with emotion, with like physically. We have to express our feelings physically. And I don't mean hit something. I mean with some form of intensity. That's why people say, well, they're mad, they go and work out. That's only half of it, because you also have to use the words. It's not enough to just punch something. You've got to also use words to express what you are feeling. And if you're sad, that's why when we're sad, saying, well, I'm very sad, I'm quite upset about that, doesn't help. That doesn't help you get rid of feelings. What helps you get rid of feelings is to cry, the typical expression of sadness, or something else. We have to feel it in our bodies. Jose is saying, amen. Amen. Yes. We have to feel it in our bodies. We cannot just identify it. A lot of people say they feel their feelings, but really what they've done is they have identified their feeling. They have said, oh, I realize I'm sad. Why am I not better? Because you didn't express it. You just identified you're sad. Yes, Some people, Jose is saying, some people think working out replaces the work with a therapist. Jenny, exactly, Jose. Jenny says, I'm also feeling anger towards people for not wearing masks and seemingly not taking this pandemic seriously. 3 exclamation marks. Yes, Jenny. Yes, yes, yes. I totally agree. What the heck? People, 111,000 or maybe 112,000 people are dead in this country alone. This virus is still out there. We have not beaten it. It is killing people worldwide. We wear masks not just to protect ourselves, but to protect each other. We don't know whether we are carriers or not unless we have been tested, and we have not been tested, most of us. And so we don't know, and we wear masks to protect you all out there. That's why we're supposed to wear masks, not just to protect ourselves, but to protect other people. Because we live in a society and we're not acting like we live in a society. We're acting as individuals, or some people are. Not Jenny, not me, not you, right? Wear a mask. Wear a mask because it stops the spread. Look at what happened in New Zealand. They have zero coronavirus. You know why? Because every single person wore a mask. Look at Japan. You know why they are getting a handle on coronavirus now? You know why they have had so few deaths? Because they're wearing masks. Wear a freaking mask. I'm expressing anger. I am modeling anger to you all. As if I said, you know what? It's really important to wear a mask. We do it to protect ourselves and each other. That just would not do it. No. No, enough is enough. We need to be safe. We need to take care of each other, not just ourselves. We need to wear a mask and stop pretending that life is normal. We need to stop saying that this is an economic issue. It is an economic issue brought on by a health issue that has not gone away. So please, for those of you who are not wearing masks, and I know that there are some states in which it is not really looked at as acceptable to wear a mask because it's been politicized. People wear masks are mocked. Come on. This is the safety of everyone. If we want to, we are united against a common enemy, and that common enemy is coronavirus. It's COVID-19. I have lost someone to COVID-19. There are hundreds of thousands of people in this country who have lost someone to COVID-19. Let's stop losing people to COVID-19. Let's wear a mask. Let's take precautions. Let's social distance. Let's do the right thing. Okay. So thank you, Jenny, for giving me the opportunity to get on my soapbox and also express what anger looks like. Anger doesn't mean hitting. Anger doesn't have to mean yelling. Often we think, oh no, I don't want to be scary. I don't want to scare other people. Anger is scary. Anger is scary if it is expressed with violence, if it is expressed with physical threat. If someone's like yelling up in your face, yeah, that's scary. But just expressing it, just saying, oh my God, this is so upsetting, that just makes you feel better. That gets your feelings out. That's how you get rid of feelings. That's how you do it. So separate the expression of anger, the feeling of anger, from the expression of anger. The feeling of anger is it's intense. The expression of anger can be just words like I just showed you right now, demonstrated for you right now. I think you can all feel it. But I don't think it was scary. Scary is when people express their anger in a frightening way, when they yell, when they scream, when they throw things. That is scary. So anger is just an expression. Anger is just a reaction to a situation. It is the expression of it that that might be scary. Those are two separate things. And similarly, with sadness, with anxiety, with guilt, with fear, with anything, you can't just not feel it. Impossible. You have to express it. And that means hopefully to somebody else, because it's also really important to be heard, to speak up and to be heard is so important. And all the person who's hearing you, they don't have to fix it, by the way. And if you're listening to someone and they're expressing themselves, don't try to fix it. Just hear them. Say, yeah, that really sucks. That's really hard. Yes, that is painful. Yes, that is enraging. That is so upsetting. Because when people try to make it better, in a way, it's dismissing it. How can we become more comfortable in our skin? Modern World Zen, you have some great questions. I think you have to look at why you're uncomfortable in your own skin. Now, maybe you want to, if you feel like it, can you say something more about that? But I will try to answer it as you think about the answer to the question. Feel free to share or not share. But often we think that by changing our bodies, we're going to change how we feel about ourselves. So I would say, if you feel uncomfortable in your skin, what is uncomfortable in your life? It's easy to say, well, I'm uncomfortable because I don't like my weight, or I'm uncomfortable because I'm out of shape, or I'm uncomfortable because of something physical. And that may be, but it also may be a distraction from something that is uncomfortable in your life. Because we have this idea, this illusion that by changing our bodies, we change the way that we feel about ourselves. And I've talked about this a lot. People say, well, I'm going to be more confident when I'm thinner, or I won't be as shy when I'm thinner, or when I get to that weight, I'm going to start dating. When I get to that weight, I'm going to look for a different job. As if losing weight gets rid of the qualities about yourself that you find uncomfortable or not good enough or just deficient in some way. And the reality is, you can't lose aspects of who you are by losing weight. So challenge the idea, for example, that being shy, that there's something wrong with that. Why should you become more confident and outgoing? What's wrong with being shy? Alexa, stop. Inexplicable. My Alexa is giving me the weather. So for me, I feel afraid in my body. Okay. Afraid of what? Sometimes people feel afraid of being objectified. People who have been, especially people who have been sexually abused or molested or mistreated, feel particularly afraid of being objectified and sexualized at a lower weight. So that is something I can talk about at length more next week. We're almost out of time. You're welcome, Carly Gash. I'm glad that I helped you today. Sorry I couldn't take your call. So feeling afraid in your body, that is something to really look at. What are your fears? Instead of trying to make yourself feel less afraid, first you got to recognize, well, why are you afraid? What are your fears? What is going to happen? What are your fantasies about what's going to happen? What are you afraid of? Oh, Carly Gash, I'm so sorry. Carly Gash, I have to just said her friend's 5-year-old daughter was diagnosed with blood cancer and she's very anxious. I do want to tell you, Carly Gash, that blood cancer, leukemia in children is often, the prognosis is very, very, very good. So hopefully they caught it early and that she's going to be okay. And I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy that the broken arm analogy helped you with that. So that does it for the show today. Thank you guys. Sorry about the issues earlier with the technology. Excuse me, if I eat, I will feel more whole. Modern World's End, will you either get back to me next week, same time, and we can talk about it more and see if we can get to the bottom of what it means to be whole. If you eat, you will feel more whole. We need to know more about that and understand it on a better level. I thank you for your questions and your thoughts and look forward to diving a little more deeply into that with you if you want. So that is our show today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And also, if you are interested in joining Binge Free Babes, just check out bingefreebabes.com and learn more about it. And again, I am so glad to spend this hour with you and give you some food for thought and hopefully help. Stay safe and healthy, everyone. And I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.